You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. That was the opening theme that 121.6 million viewers heard 36 years ago this night as they tuned in for the very final episode of MASH, the most watched TV broadcast in American history to that point. The comedy drama ran from 1972 to 1983, and viewers loved the exploits of the surgeons and nurses of the 4077th MASH unit set during the Korean War. It inspired some viewers to consider medicine as a calling, including a teenager who watched it home in Southfield, Michigan, and who grew up to become University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor Dr. Howard Markel. To some who watched, like you, MASH was really all they knew about the Korean War, which certainly did not get the attention of movies and TV the way World War II did. Yeah. Or
in fact,
Vietnam.
It's one of the last wars to have a monument on the mall in Washington, D.C. I knew a little bit about the Korean War because my father was in it, but he was luckily billeted in Japan for 2 years. So his tour of duty, as he called it, was quite wonderful. But not a lot of people knew much about that war.
And a lot of Americans learned that term MASH, which stands for?
Mobile Army Surgical Hospital.
And when did the Army start using this idea of treating the wounded soldiers close to the front lines? Because we remember World War I had the ambulance drivers like Ernest Hemingway.
Right.
Bringing the troops
and
way
Walt,
back.
Walt Disney was
Walt
another
Disney
one.
Walt Disney was too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it really goes back to the Napoleonic Wars, and the word triage, which everyone's familiar with now, comes from a French word, trier, to sort out. And the notion is who needs your help most, and if you don't help them right away, they're going to die. Who has the worst battle wound? Whose organ is destroyed? What have you? This process has been improved upon to a real state of the art currently in wartime medicine. But beginning in the end of the World War II, some famous surgeons, including Michael DeBakey, were consulted as to how to bring a unit that could operate on patients, on soldiers, close to the front, but not too close to the front that the entire hospital staff would be in jeopardy. And so they were originally called auxiliary surgical groups, and then World War II ended. But when Korean War started in 1950, they revamped and revised that process, and it became the MASH units.
And that's what we saw. And didn't a lot of what we now know as emergency medicine kind of have its roots there?
Well, I don't know if a lot, but certainly traumatic injuries have their roots in wartime. Sadly, sure. Wartime has advanced medicine across the ages. I mean, when you think of the Civil War, more men died of dysentery than of bullets, and they learned to wash their hands and to dig latrines that were far away from where they ate. And you could go on with surgical wounds, too, that they were advanced and improved upon and even created during wartime in places like MASH units, yes.
And before Alan Alda and that great cast starred on the TV show, there was a movie version with Elliot Gould, I remember that, based on a novel. So tell us about the author and why this all seems so realistic.
Well, that's what's so fascinating to me. I remember the novel vividly. It was a pen name, Richard Hooker, but his real name was H. Richard Hornberger. And he was drafted in 1950 right out of his surgical internship. So that means he only had about a year of training.
So he was a baby doctor.
He was a baby doctor. Not the kind of baby doctors we think of.
Early in his training,
a very young doctor.
Yeah,
baby doctor. Yeah. And he was put into one of these MASH units. And he was from Maine, as Hawkeye Pierce is from. And he based Hawkeye Pierce on himself. And the interesting thing is that he wrote all these memoirs in a novelistic form, almost as a therapy for the post-traumatic stress disorder that he must have suffered from. Because even though these units were a little bit away from the front, they were close enough to be quite frightening. And they were seeing the worst of the worst. I mean, the types of injuries that they saw on a daily basis. And I think that comes through in both the movie and the TV show were horrific.
But you found Dr. Hornberger didn't make a pile of money from the TV show, nor did he like it very much.
No. He signed a bad deal. You ought to go back to his agent. He passed away a while ago, but he made about $500 an episode. More than that, though, he did not like the show because he felt it, quote, trampled on my memories. What he was writing was a memoir of his war work, but it wasn't an anti-war novel. It wasn't a political novel. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Dr. Hornberg was quite conservative politically, and he found the Alan Alda characterization of Hawkeye, which he was very invested in. Hawkeye was quite liberal, anti-war, and some of this was reflected in how many Americans felt at the time about the Vietnam War. And so a lot of us who were watching back then could really identify with this stuff. So Dr. Hornberger was not a fan.
There are some Michigan connections to the TV show. Actor Harry Morgan, who played Colonel Potter, was born in Detroit in 1915, and he grew up in Muskegon, actually graduated in 1933 from Muskegon High School. And then tell us about the surgeon who made sure that the scenes on the TV show were as authentic as possible.
Walter Deschel, who was a 1965 or 6 graduate of U of M Medical School. He practiced out in California.
And he grew up in Detroit, right?
Grew up in Detroit. And he was the medical advisor for a whole host of medical shows on the CBS television network.
Oh, they had bunches of them.
Yeah.
They really did.
There was Aftermath, there was House Calls, there was Medical Center.
There
was a whole bunch of them. And so he made quite a good living, not only from his surgical practice, but more famously as an expert in medicine. And what he did was he read up on the types of procedures that were being done at that time so that it was fairly accurate.
Here's a clip from the very final moments of that final episode. You have Alan Alda as Hawkeye Pierce about to chop her out of Korea as the war ends, saying farewell to his best buddy, B.J. Honeycutt, played by Mike Farrell. Hawkeye speaks first.
Look, I know how tough it is for you to say goodbye, so I'll say it. Maybe you're right. Maybe we will see each other again. But just in case we don't, I want you to know how much you've meant to me. I'll never be able to shake you. Whenever I see a big pair of feet or a cheesy mustache, I'll think of you.
Whenever I smell month-old socks, I'll think of you.
And the next time somebody nails my shoe to the floor.
Yeah, when somebody gives me a martini that tastes like lighter fluid.
I miss you.
I'll miss you. A lot. I can't imagine what this place would have been like if I hadn't found you here.
Why do you think, Howard, that this show grabbed audiences the way it did for all of these years, over 10 years? Why did it grab you?
Well, it was so well written, and the characters were so three-dimensional. Even when one character left the show and another joined the cast, it was as if it never happened. It was just so organic and wonderful. And it was funny, and it was sad, and it was touching. And Hawkeye Pierce was the doctor we all wanted to be.
Why?
He was very competent. He was a very good surgeon. And yet he had a wonderful bedside manner. And you know, if you're a Groucho Marx fan, you don't have to go very far to see Alan Alda's portrayal. In fact, in one episode, he actually dressed up like Groucho Marx. But those one-liners, those funny anecdotes that just came up and up and up again, just impressed me enormously and enchanted me.
And here we have how many years in medicine now for you?
Over 30.
There you go. And you can thank those early
seasons. Well, yeah, and I don't meet helipads anymore, thankfully, for both the patient and the helipad. But every time we crab rock across the helipad, I could hear that song, Suicide is Painless, the theme song of MASH in my head.
University of Michigan medical historian Dr. Howard Markell, as we mark this anniversary of the final episode of MASH 36 years ago this night, 121.6 million people watched. Howard, thanks so much.
Thank you.